Defense Secretary Ash Carter is planting so-called innovation centers all over. First came San Jose, then Boston, now Austin, Texas. Well, is he overdoing it? Will these DIUXs produce tangible results? And what do they mean for companies in the D.C. region? For some possible answers, Jonathan Aberman, chairman of Amplifier Ventures. And Jonathan, these really are sprouting like daisies. I guess the first question is he spreading it too thin, this whole idea of innovation?
I don't think he's spread it too thin. I think that the challenge that the Pentagon has, and we've talked about this a number of times over the last 2-3 years together, Tom, is that the innovation that's necessary for national security is often in the hands of agile and small teams, and those agile small teams are generally found in places around the country other than Northern Virginia. And that is why the Pentagon is continuing to open offices in different parts of the country. If you look closely, the offices that they're opening have different foci from the standpoint of technology. Silicon Valley was very much around software, emerging software, cybersecurity. Boston was around material sciences, and what you're seeing now in Austin is you're seeing a focus on wearable technology. You know, the Austin office is the first one they've opened within a private sector incubator, a company called Capital Factory, which has been in operating in Austin since 2009. So
these incubators, what are they? They're a place where a lot of people share an open space and supposedly collaborate?
Well, in the private sector, there are various business models that people use to get entrepreneurs together with the things they need to grow businesses, the things being access to capital, access to other smart people, mentors, lawyers, and so forth. We call an incubator if generally there's no equity stake in the outcome on the part of the sponsors. We tend to call it an accelerator if it's a shorter-term program, say with a 3-month period where you're looking for an outcome and an equity. Differentiation might be, say, in our area, we've got, say, the incubators up in Baltimore, the Emerging Technology Center, that's an incubator that's incubated a lot of companies like Millennial Media, companies like that. And on the other side, you have something like 1776 downtown, which is an accelerator program, or Mach 37, which is a cyber accelerator program that starts companies in a specific period of time. The key here is that, you asked me, is the Pentagon spreading themselves too thin? The reality is that innovation is a widespread phenomenon, and the Pentagon, and indeed all the agencies, need to have a wide net these days to capture the best innovations. This is not going to be the last office that DIUX will open. I expect you'll see offices in Seattle relatively soon, and maybe places like Pittsburgh and other places, Chicago, around the country, where innovators cluster.
We talk about these innovative companies and the incubators and the accelerators, but before anything can really happen in the long run, you've got to have revenue. You've got to have customers. You have to have a market for what is incubated. It seems like in the case of the Defense Department, if they like what they develop, there really is a real tangible market. It's called the defense budget.
Well, yes and no. So it's important to understand that what we have right now is a very upside-down situation from where we were 30 years ago. 30 years ago, most of the advanced R&D and development of new technology innovation was happening in the big science establishment funded by the DoD. Now what we're seeing is that the commercial market for many of these new emerging technologies, things like robotics, cybersecurity, man-machine interface, artificial intelligence, and so forth, the commercial market's bigger, and a lot of the innovations are happening outside of DoD. So, in fact, the DoD is a very small market. People tell the story about, for example, how DoD wanted Apple to change their operating system to make it the iPhone more secure so it could be used for national security establishment purposes, and Apple's reaction was, why do we change your operating system? You're a tiny market. So the reason why the DoD is doing what it's doing is because ultimately it needs to have commercial innovators want to be involved with national security, understanding that it's a smaller customer. And what Ash Carter and others understand is if the Pentagon is not a good customer for innovators, that combined with it being a relatively small market will mean that the best innovators will not do business with the federal government. And that's why DIUX is significant. And things like Tandem NSI and other activities are significant because without them, I fear that we will lose our technological edge in national security, and that would not be a good result.
We're speaking with Jonathan Aberman, chairman of Amplifier Ventures in Northern Virginia. So what does all this mean for the companies around here? First of all, let's get to the places that might be the next sites for DIUXs, and you've got a list of potentials.
Well, I wish I could tell you that I'm having conversations with DIUX about opening up an office in our region. I'd love to be able to tell you that, but I'm not having those conversations. Maybe other people in the region are. Let's hope that somebody's having those conversations. Because the risk to our region is that the more the Pentagon perceives other places in the country where they can find great innovation, the less likely they're going to look on their doorstep. And I know for a fact through operating Tandem NSI and by being an investor since 2005 through Amplifier Ventures, there's a lot of innovation here of the types that the Pentagon should care about. So we need to regionally understand that this trend is permanent and that if we don't do anything to really lobby on our behalf, DIUX will expand naturally to other parts of the country.
And what are some of the cities it might end up in?
If I was going to bet, I believe that...
Let me guess. Pittsburgh?
Well, interestingly enough, Pittsburgh has a great robotics community. And I know that from some of the work that Tandem NSI has done with DARPA over the last few years. But in some ways, Pittsburgh now is so dominated by Uber and how it's almost turned Carnegie Mellon into a scout team for its technologies. Pittsburgh might not necessarily be the best place to go for robotics entrepreneurs. Having said that, I think it could be an interesting place. My bet is on Seattle, which is the wrong Washington from my perspective. But the reason for Seattle is they have talent that's got talent, meaning DIUX's talent that has connections up there. You've got a lot of software activities up there. You know, Microsoft is the center, and Amazon is the center of a broad
sure.
software community. So I would bet on either of those two. But frankly, and this is something that I really advocate strongly for, frankly, the greater Washington region should have an office in this mix very soon. Otherwise, I think it will be a blind spot for DIUX.
All right. So let's get back to one other issue you mentioned, and that is the whole buying issue and whether the government is a good customer and whether it's an easy customer to do business with. I guess Ash Carter got a little bit of pushback when he spoke at TechCrunch on that very topic.
Well,
he didn't talk about that, but he was asked about it.
Well, so first of all, again, I can say with knowledge that DIUX is using contract innovations, other transaction authorizations, and other models to reach entrepreneurs. And so the models are out there. And in fact, you know, DIUX has already handed out $3 or $4 million under this program, and they're planning on spending as much as $60 million. You know, handing it out to entrepreneurs a few hundred thousand or a few millions at a time. So remember, this is R&D. This is an acquisition. The challenge, Tom, is always going to be how do you get entrepreneurs and small businesses that have innovative technologies into a program of record? And that's where our integrator community has such an enormous opportunity because they're the ones that know how to bring programs together. We need to connect them better with the innovators, I think.
Jonathan Aberman is chairman of Amplifier Ventures and Tandem NSI. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.